Welcome to a brand new season of The Scorekeepers. I'm your host, Daniel Farrell, and on this premiere episode, I'm joined by singer-songwriter Noelle Tsoukalos. Noelle comes to us from Southern California, where she is studying commercial music and performing her original work. Featured on American Idol Season 21, Noelle is here to share her musical journey behind her latest single, Hobby. Welcome to The Scorekeepers. Welcome to the show, Noelle.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Congratulations are in order for your recent release of your new single, Hobby.
Yes, thank you.
It was a blast. I heard it and I was like, what is this? This is so cool.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I gotta reach out. So
did you find it on like Spotify or like TikTok or?
I think it was TikTok or Instagram. One of those two like
okay.
Came up and I was like, oh, I'll go here and listen to this track.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
So yeah, talk us through, you know, where the inspiration for this song came from.
This song was very, very fun to write. It's kind of a funny story because I've only started music like about a year ago, like really going for it. So this song I was reached out to by a couple guys who just wanted to write and like see how it went in LA. And I'd never met them before, but I went with my friend and we met for the first time and wrote this song in 2 hours. So
wow,
that's a cool story because I've never written a song that quickly, let alone with people I've never met before. So it was honestly really, really cool. And the song is about, it's kind of a fun, like Sabrina Carpenter, mm-hmm. like teenage angst kind of song, just about how guys treat girls and when they just see them as like a hobby as opposed
that's
to
the
an
name
actual
of the song.
Person with feelings. There we go. Yeah. But yeah, I wrote this with two guys who are married, which is kind of funny too. So it's like, yeah. So maybe like past experience, you know, triggered these lyrics.
So, you know, I'm a film composer. I'm from a classical background. So I have very little exposure and experience with songwriting and the craft of songwriting.
Yeah.
So can you kind of walk us through like, what was the process like for creating this song? Like, what did you start with? Was it, you know, lyrics? Did you co-write it? Like, where does the genesis come from?
I think from my experience writing songs, it's always different. It really depends on if you're writing alone or if you're writing as a co-write. But for this case, with my single Hobby, I wrote this with three other people. And so we all just split everything evenly down the middle. The process is I like to come in with a couple ideas because if you're kind of just showing up to a co-write with nothing, it's a little awkward and you're like, we've never met before. Like, what's the vibe? So I came in with a couple ideas. And then before I got to the co-write, the two of them had got some melodies together and chord progressions and we come in with lots of ideas, even if you think they're stupid, and something will be agreed upon with everyone. And then you kind of just choose and just start going for it. It's always different, but I like to start with a chord progression and an idea, because then it's like, all right, we got the foundation. Let's start writing the verse and the pre-chorus and maybe the chorus. And
so there's a lot of like kind of improvising with each other and kind of building as you go.
Absolutely. Yes, a lot of that and a lot of taking ideas down and building others up. You just have to be ready to have not all of your ideas accepted, you know, and just kind of keep going and keep going with the flow. And
when you approach, you know, melody or harmony, are you coming from it from piano, from guitar? Are you just singing? How do you kind of find that vibe?
Yeah, I am a piano player. That's how I've grown up. I'm not very good at guitar, so I always write my songs on the piano. But again, I start with a chord progression. Or sometimes I'll literally like wake up in the middle of the night and like voice memo a melody that I have. And so I'll just go over all my voice memos before. And so it's either like a small melody or like the chord progression you like. And you're just fiddling around with everything and something just comes up.
Did you work on the producing and the engineering side of this, or was this that part of the collaboration, you're collaborating with sort of engineers?
Yeah, I did not contribute to the production and the engineering behind everything, but the guys I was working with are all really good mixing engineers and production. But I always like to contribute mm-hmm. and give my ideas, of course. And watching it come to life is the coolest part. So it's a lot of trial and error.
What is that process like? I mean, is there a lot of kind of back and forth with the engineer who's running the session?
I mean,
how do you kind of break it down? Or do you have like the song sort of, all right, this is the song going into the session? Or are you kind of engineering it on the fly as you're creating it?
I would say you definitely do not go into your session knowing what the production's going to be. I think, honestly, the rough just wrote the song all the way to the end, to the mixed version. It's always so different than the beginning. And I love to look back on the first version and see how it progressed over time, because you're writing and you're like, oh, maybe this would be cool here. But I would suggest, like, when you're working with a mixing engineer, and just immediately off the bat, be like, hey, I'm going to send ideas back and forth. Like, I'm not trying to like put your ideas down or be mean. I just want to like get a song that is authentically me. And then you guys can go back and forth and it's not like you're arguing. You know what I mean? So it's important to have a good friendship and like relationship with the person mixing your stuff, because then you both are like, okay, solid foundation. No one's going to get hurt. And it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it is tough, because I think some people, whenever you're approaching something creative, like creating a song, or, you know, from my experience working on films, it's like sometimes people are very sensitive about this stuff. You know, it's like, that's my baby, you know?
Yeah.
And it is absolutely hard to take that step back and to, you know, let off and just, you know, let the ideas come. And some things aren't going to work, some things will.
Mm-hmm.
For when you're coming to writing lyrics, again, I'm not a lyricist. I have absolutely zero experience writing lyrics.
It's so hard.
What does that kind of look like for you when you're coming up with lyrical ideas, like outside of music? Do you completely separate the music from the lyrics when you're creating it, or is it with each other?
That's a good question. When I write a song, it's like my form of getting all my emotions out, like my form of therapy in a way. And so I've been thinking about the idea for a while, and what I usually do is I start a little notes on my app or like in my journal, and I'll just start writing random lines that I'm feeling down. And then when I'm like ready to write the song and I'll come to the piano, I take inspiration from those lines and I start building off of that and putting things in different places and seeing what stuff rhymes and the format of the song. Cause you can do like ABA or you can do AAB, or there's so many different templates to go off of. But I would say I come up with a lot of the idea before, and then when I'm writing in the midst of that creative space is when I start getting those actual lyrics down.
So it's almost like you're creating like an outline or like a just rough ideas that you draw on.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I wanted to talk on a couple other topics, but if there's anything else, insights from the creation of a hobby that you'd like to share.
It did pretty well on TikTok, which I've never had happen before. So that was a cool experience to hear people from different places all around the world. Yeah. And they were just
TikTok,
like,
TikTok algorithm is.
Yeah.
We're this season, actually, we're going to try putting out some of the stuff on TikTok, see if it gets more traction on TikTok. But
it's
crazy.
And it's so random. Stuff. Like, I had been posting for like a year straight and I was just getting so discouraged, and then I had the demo of Hobby and I just posted a little snippet on TikTok and people were like, we want it now and I was like, okay. And so that influenced me moving up the release date, but it was so cool to hear all of that love and support, and just like, I relate to this so much, I play this in my car. Like, just touching other people was like the coolest part of this single so far, and connecting with different people, and even like this podcast, like it wouldn't have come about if you hadn't heard the song on social media. So I'm just, it's a wild, TikTok is such a wild ride, but it was cool to see the outcome. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
Do you have any future plans for the song? Maybe like a music video or anything like that?
Ooh, future plans for this song. I mean, not a music video, but I'm going to keep posting as much as I can, trying to get it out. But, you know, maybe it'll be in the works. You never know.
Cool. I know you've probably talked to death about this, but you were on the current season of American Idol.
Yes.
And you made it to Hollywood Week.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk a little bit about the process of being on that show and auditioning and what that all entailed?
Absolutely. And it was such a cool experience. So I love talking about it. It takes a lot longer than you expect. So I auditioned for American Idol just off of an Instagram ad that I saw. And I was like, this is too good to be true. But I put my email in and just was waiting to see what would happen, because why not? And I ended up being in a Zoom with like 100,000 people for 5 hours a day. And you basically just wait in this breakout room. Everyone's cameras are on. Everyone's rehearsing. It's like so like, oh my gosh, there's so much going on. And then you just wait for a producer to pull you into a breakout room and you sing 30 seconds of song, and then you keep progressing and progressing and progressing. And soon enough, you're talking to different producers and all this stuff. Wow. But
that sounds a lot like here we have for Broadway and for theater, you have cattle call auditions.
Yeah.
And it used to just be that. It used to be cattle call and, you know, be the line down the block.
Yep.
People just, you know, waiting to go. I guess it's all virtual now, but
yeah, no, it's I honestly liked the process better because I didn't have to travel anywhere and I could just do it from my living room, and like my parents were like watching and like listening in the back and stuff. But it was amazing. I finished the 3 days of auditioning and the producers told me I was gonna be able to audition in front of the celebrity judges, and I was so stoked. Yeah, the process is long. Like I flew to New Orleans in October, went to Hollywood Week in December, and it's a lot of traveling, but it's like the coolest thing ever. And you meet the most talented, the contestants, I cannot express enough. Everyone there was so, so good. You know, in the old episodes when people were like, kind of like, bad and just like the laughing stock, like I was expecting that, and no one was that,
right?
So it was really humbling. It was scary. It really pushed me, but the audition day was probably one of the best days of my life. Like it was just the coolest experience, and I went into it just wanting to be 100% me and authentic as I could be. And so I decided to sing my first original song that I ever wrote. It's called The Girl in Your Story. And I played it on piano for the judges, and I was terrified and I was shaking and I hadn't slept in like 3 days, but it ended up getting me three yeses. And yeah, it went well. So if anyone wants to do it, it's the coolest thing ever. And you learn so much. So
have you noticed, you know, coming back from it now, any connections and your career? Have you felt the impact of doing it?
Absolutely. This is an example to help you understand, but I met one of my friends is from Nashville, and he's a country singer, and basically every singer lives in Nashville now. It's like the place to be. And I ended up visiting there this summer just to visit some friends and family. And I reached out to one of my American Idol connections, and I was like, hey, we should like do a show together or something if we can. And he was able to get me like this amazing writer's round show in Nashville.
Wow.
And it was at one of the top three venues in Nashville. And it was just like, that would not have happened if I hadn't met those people on American Idol. And everyone's just so kind and caring, and like everyone wants each other to do well. And it was like the coolest show I've ever played. It was so awesome. And that's just like one of many random connections that have helped me in my music.
Yeah, I imagine. I mean, you're all You're all going through the same process. You're all,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of like war buddies.
No, literally. It's like so emotionally like draining. It was crazy.
So you're in school right now at mm-hmm. Point Loma Nazarene University.
Yes.
Studying commercial music.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think having that experience of doing an American Idol and having that real world experience of, you know, that crazy audition process and stuff, has that impacted your learning? Do you approach it differently?
Oh, yeah. That's a really good question, too. That the American Idol experience was during the throes of school and finals week and all that stuff. So, one, it taught me how to organize my time and prioritize things. But two, the show just kind of opened my eyes to how big the music industry is.
Right.
And how many people want this dream so badly.
Mm-hmm.
And being in school in a little liberal arts Christian school.
Right.
My department's like, what, 20 commercial music majors maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very small. It's very bubbled. So going out and doing that big girl thing and being alone for most of it, I was like, okay, I've got to like, if I want this, yeah. I really got to step it up and like, fully go for it. So it honestly, it just opened my eyes to, I just got to work hard,
mm-hmm.
working hard and realizing that my school is not the only place in the universe.
Yeah. I mean, I had a similar situation and I also yeah. went to a fairly small.
Oh, where?
University. I went to Jacksonville University
cool.
in Florida, okay. in Jacksonville.
Nice.
I mean, the school is like fair. I think it was like 6,000 or 7,000
yeah.
folks, but our department was very small. There was only like 3 or 4 composition majors,
yeah.
like at a time.
Yes,
and it's like you said, you're a big fish in a very small pond.
Yes,
and then when you leave, and you go out, you know, in my case, going to New York,
absolutely.
I was like, oh wow, okay,
yes,
you know, there are a lot of people who are very serious about this and very yeah. talented.
Yeah, it's. I think it's really cool, though, that I got to see that before I graduated, because mm-hmm. That's going to be the real world. That's what it's going to be like. That's what,
right.
I'm sure the film industry is very similar to that. So,
how was growing up around music? Because your father was a touring musician.
Yes.
How has that shaped your connection with music?
Yeah.
Was having your father always involved in music what kind of got you started in music? Like, how did you fall in love with music?
My dad tells me that I was literally like harmonizing and singing along to the television intro to like Aww. Little shows when I was 2 years old. And so I've just been singing all of my life, but also my dad, yeah, he was incredible. He was the lead singer of his band, and he made a living off of that for 25 years and toured around Boston. And he just like lived the coolest life, but I never really appreciated it and really understood what that was until I went to college and I was like, I want to pursue this fully. And I guess my dad's experience gave me a lot more hope, just being like, okay, if he can do it and make a living and have a family and then I'm just going to go for it. And it's something that has been in my family. Well, me and my dad, at least. It's been a part of our lives as long as I can remember. Like, I was doing talent shows and, like, just singing at every opportunity I could since I was a little girl. And it's scary. Like, I am a overthinker and a planner, and I like to have...
I feel you.
A set plan, right? And music and film is very uncertain, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
But my dad really inspired me to chase my dreams while I'm young. And he's been my biggest supporter. Like, my family is so supportive of it, which is so wonderful. If they weren't, I wouldn't feel confident doing this. But they're my biggest supporters. And my dad is also amazing. He literally, I think he's better than Elvis and Frank Sinatra. Like, he's incredible. So it's been really wonderful growing up.
What was their reaction like when they found out you were going to Hollywood?
They, oh my gosh. My dad got to go with me to the audition.
Okay.
Because we did the whole little spiel of like, oh, your dad, and now you, so cute. Yeah.
Makes her good TV.
And yeah, that's another thing. It's, yeah. I will never forget the moment I got to grab my golden ticket and I was like shaking from head to toe. I couldn't believe that I had gotten through to the next round. And my dad was outside in the waiting room and there's like 7 cameras on him and they're all waiting to get his reaction. And I just like ran out and I was like, Dad, I did it. And he just was like, let out the biggest, like, yes. And it was just like, it was the coolest moment That's ever. Amazing. So they were so excited. Great.
So what's next for you on your musical journey? What does your future have?
What is next for me? That is a great question. I am hoping to, there's more music in the works. Mm-hmm. So another single is coming soon. My plan is to just release as many singles as I can until one really starts to get traction and like starts to do well on the streaming side. And then to hopefully grow a base of people who enjoy my music and come to my shows. And next would be an EP. I have a lot of music I want to release and there is a lot coming and it's going to come soon. So
awesome.
I'm excited. Yeah. And I'm playing for people listening like shows in LA and hopefully some more shows in Nashville and just all over the place. So stay tuned.
Yeah. we'll definitely plug all your socials and stuff so people can find you and follow you and keep up with your live shows and any other releases. But it's been amazing speaking with you, Noelle. Aww. And remember, everybody, go listen to her new single, Poppy.
Yes, out everywhere.
Yeah, every major platform will have some links for it. Yeah, thanks again, Noelle. It's been great.
Thank you. This has been so fun. I've loved it. Thanks for having me.
I loved hearing from Noelle about her journey through American Idol and beyond. Be sure to check out Noelle's amazing new single, Hobby, available now. Thanks for listening to The Scorekeepers. The Scorekeepers is produced by Daniel Farrell Music and Sound, with graphic and visual design by Patrick Farrell. Scorekeepers is proudly hosted and recorded using Zencastr. Make sure you subscribe to hear new episodes of The Scorekeepers wherever you listen. And be sure to rate and review this episode to help us find new listeners. Thanks for listening.